And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, just trying to keep everything together and base my children on a biblical view of things in the 21st century, where there are so many pressures pulling everything apart, pulling morality apart, pulling the family apart. And friends, I'm telling you, it is a challenge to be a father in the 21st century. Amen, anybody out there? Dave Buhner, also in studio with me, he just kind of nodded, so I'm assuming he's saying amen to that. And Dave, I mean, okay, this is like last week, okay? My kids are saying, Dad, our Christian friends are saying we got to go see Star Trek. It's supposed to be a great movie, Dad. Everybody else is looking at this movie. Why don't we go see it? That ever happened to you or all the other kids are? And, so I went on to PluggedIn.com, the Focus on the Family movie thing. It's kind of helpful. You know, it gives you a little feel for what's going on with this movie. So went on to PluggedIn.com. Turns out the captain of the Star Trek thing, Captain Kirk, thank you. In one scene, he wakes up with two, not just one, but two female versions of the wrong species. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, is Captain Kirk waking up in bed with two of the female versions of the wrong species any worse than waking up with one? So, I mean, that was the first ethical conundrum that I had to grapple with as a father trying to make ethical decisions in the 21st century where all our Christian friends, Dad, are going on. It's supposed to be so good. It's a good one, Dad. It's really good. There's only one or two bad scenes. So, Dave, I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's see. One versus two, mating with the wrong species. There's a Bible verse about that somewhere in there.
So you're saying there was an implication of prior fornication.
There was an implication of prior fornication, exactly.
Okay, so there was some fornication that happened, implied.
Yeah.
With the wrong species.
And my understanding is Captain Kirk is not like this evil person. You know, I mean, he's supposed to be the good guy, right? I mean,
well, he represents the Empire.
Okay, well, and everybody takes his side, and they want, I think, whenever, you know, he's doing stuff, they want him to win the battles and all the rest. So I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to take my kids to watch a movie that implicates the good guy in the film as mating with the wrong species, but not just one, but two?
Well, you know, I could understand that Christians would get upset if it was a male of a different species. No, actually I'm not sure that the bestiality and the homosexuality are really all that different.
So, Dave, I said to myself, we're not going to go see that movie. So, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere, don't you? I mean, And how many Christians asked that question?
I don't know.
I actually did a survey. I mean, I went on to Google and kind of Googled, you know, Christian sites. I mean, I'm trying not to put the right, wrong kind of wording into the Google search, because you do that, you could be in a heap of trouble. So I did a little search. Turns out there was a Catholic site, had a little forum discussion on the issue. And nobody brought up Leviticus 18, Dave. And of course, the whole premise of this is that within an evolutionary construct, there is no real problem with speciation and cross-species mating. There's no problem with that at all. In fact, that's how you evolve. That's how you get evolution. And so the end result, of course, is that evolution has no basic problem with bestiality or cross-species mating. Okay? Now, some of you are saying, I can't believe these guys are saying this on this radio program. I can't believe I'm saying this either. They are going places where no man has gone
before.
Or should.
Except that Greek mythology and Roman mythology has already been there. That's why we have half goat, half man creatures, and half horse and half men creatures, and half other creatures. And that's probably why right now in the labs, geneticists are trying to combine DNA from different species and try and create something that God didn't create.
Also, so
this is the brave new world, but it's the old world.
It turns out, Dave, that one's view of evolution or metaphysics ties into one's view of ethics. Amazing, Dave. Remember the book we talked about, written by a couple of university professors in America about the evolution of rape. You remember that, Dave? They're talking about how, hey, yeah, you know, rape is all kind of part of the revolutionary thing. That's the way things work. Friends, evolution will lead to some of the most outrageous things you could possibly imagine. And, you know, I think the moral of the story here, Dave, is that maybe Christian fathers should think twice before the kids run off and do whatever the rest of the world is doing.
Oh, you mean live holy lives?
That, yeah.
Okay. That. Well, that's pretty offensive.
And here, you know, this PluggedIn.com, I like it. Okay? It has a service. But what about starting a new website, like UnpluggedIn.com? You know?
So this would feature all the things that would be good for you to watch.
This would feature all the things you don't ever want to watch. And it's just telling you to unplug from this and unplug from that and unplug from this. But if we did that site, It would be boring. We wouldn't get a lot of visits.
It would be boring. You wouldn't get a lot of visits. Now, you asked earlier, and maybe you didn't want the answer from me, but you asked, where do you draw the line? Let me tell you where I draw the line.
Okay.
I don't like to run out and watch entertainment until I know the ClearPlay filter has already been issued so that I don't have to endure blasphemy and other things that I shouldn't have to endure. And secondly, I draw the line at about $2.
Okay.
You know, so if I got to
pay... So that pretty much eliminates... almost everything.
Going out to the temples of secularism and Hollywood entertainment. Yeah. You won't see me at the theater very often.
Okay.
You won't see me the opening night of Batman. You won't see me at the closing night at Batman. In fact, I won't watch Batman, but that's for other reasons. But where do I draw the line? It got to at least have a clear play filter, so I'm not going to be defiled. And, you know, entertainment, $2, that's about my limit.
Okay, friends, it's important to draw in Leviticus 18. From time to time. And I think this is the other aspect to this. So many people hate to impose a biblical perspective on things like homosexuality and bestiality and everything else that's being promoted on movies and through the media and so forth. They're so embarrassed to bring out Leviticus 18. But you know what? From time to time, I'm just saying it's probably helpful to use the word of God. Okay. It's helpful to, you know, say, let's use the word of God to determine whether or not
Kevin,
this is a good movie.
Even that statement doesn't make sense. That's like saying I'm imposing gravity on them. No, gravity is. Whether or not I speak of it, gravity is. The law of God is. I don't have to impose it. It already is law that's in force. All I'm doing is telling them the name of the God that's imposed it.
All right. Don't go watch the latest Star Trek movie. That's my conclusion. But just don't go watch it. Okay, maybe 94% of it's just fine. But, you know, there's some scenes that are just so bad that they destroy the whole thing. It's just like if you had a painting of the Mona Lisa and somebody said, hey, let me just put one more paint stroke on this thing, took a big old black paintbrush and just put one black streak across the whole thing. Dave, one paint stroke could destroy the entire painting. Same thing can happen with a movie. Same thing can happen with a movie, friends. And you possibly ClearPlay can take care of it. Who knows? But let's be so ever so careful. Let's be careful what our children see, because remember, every time they bring in some worldly thing that does not submit itself to the principles of God's word, you know it's going to soften their worldview unless they're there to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. If they're willing to get out there and do battle, that's one thing. But if they're there to passively enjoy the entertaining experience of sitting back and sipping their drink and eating their popcorn, they're not going to really evaluate and attack this thing and pull it apart piece by piece. If they're not willing to do that, friends, forget about it. We'll be back in just a moment with more as we take a look at our culture and the weird things going on out there. Next on Generations.
Does what a nation believe about God really matter? What happens when a nation forgets God? Is there still hope for the Western society? What can we do? Where do we go from here? To find out, hear Drs. Erwin Lutzer and Marshall Foster at the Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family, sponsored by Christian Home Educators of Colorado, coming June 13 to 15 at the Denver Mart. To find out more, go to check.org. That's chec.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And friends, we're talking about what's going on in this country. And Dave, I'm wondering more and more as I'm heading out to New Zealand and Australia here for the next couple of weeks. I'm wondering if America is one of the worst nations in the world, if not the worst nation in the world now. At one time, I used to think that France was maybe the worst nation in the world when it comes to sort of that edgy sexuality. But recently, Dave, you know, there were about 1 million people that showed up at the Capitol. I guess, or maybe 150,000. It was in the 6-7 figures. But there were a lot of people that showed up and protested the government of France endorsing same-sex marriage. And so, you know, you have, I think, a huge pushback, something I don't think you'd see in America. I don't think you have enough Christians here in America. I don't think you have 150,000 Christians who'd gather together and show up at some kind of a protest here in the United States. America's leading much of the degradation of the entire Western world. I think more and more, whether it be Hollywood or, you know, here's a London paper that covered this elementary school, Dave, an elementary school in Wisconsin that is promoting homosexuality through its gender bender theme. Wisconsin, you know, this is in the United States of America, where apparently the elementary school came up with the idea that They would encourage the girls to dress like boys and the boys to dress like girls. Of course, a lot of schools have been doing that for the last 50, 60 years. They've been working very hard to make sure they reintroduce gender neutrality into just about everything, whether it be hairstyle or pants or shirts or whatever. I mean, there's, you know, gender neutral stuff everywhere. But here, you know, they're encouraging little boys to dress up like girls and little girls to dress up like boys. And man, it caused all kinds of controversy. But you know, there's English newspapers that are saying, wow, what a bunch of weirdos. America is turning into a weird nation that is leading the rest of the world to down to Gomorrah and on its way down to hell. Elementary school's Gender Bender Day prompts complaints from parents who fear it will promote homosexuality. Children kept at home in protest at Milwaukee School's theme day event described as creepy and confusing for young pupils. And the story goes on and interviews a number of parents that were kind of upset with this. I bet you they'll never pull their kids out of these public schools that are promoting the same-sex marriage stuff and the whole anti-God and don't whatever you do, don't fear God in the science classroom approach to a religious atheist form of education. They apparently have signed up to humanism as a religion that these parents believe in. They have signed up to, you know, having the big GLSEN signs in the cafeteria. I know all of the parents in the Douglas County schools here in Colorado, these nice little Christian families that send their kids to the public schools, this K-6 schools in Colorado, they're thrilled that there's GLSEN signs encouraging their little kindergarten and first grade kids to homosexual activity. They're just thrilled to death that that's happening. And Dave, there's very little pushback. I mean, there's a little complaint on Gender Bender Day maybe, but they won't pull their kids out. The vast majority of these kids in Wisconsin will not be leaving the public schools. Prognostication. I just don't think they will. I don't think they'll homeschool. I don't think they'll commit to a Christian education for their kids. They'll just continue to teach them evolution, pro-homosexual perspectives, the gender bender thing. They'll do that for the next 18 years, and we'll see how screwed up these kids are by the time they're 19 years of age.
I hear in Dearborn, they're doing a similar thing. They're asking the men to come in wearing burkas and the girls to come in with suicide vests.
Oh, is that right? That's down in Detroit.
Dearborn.
The Detroit area. Yeah. Dearborn, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that anywhere. That's another religion, though, right?
That's a different one.
That's the other one. That's not the humanist religion. That's
right.
The Muslim.
Right.
Religion.
I heard there was a real outcry about that, though.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there might be some kids pulled out of school for that kind of thing. Here's another story, in case you're not irritated enough. This is Discovery Channel. You know Discovery Channel, Dave? It's the one channel that a lot of kids watch this Discovery thing, the little nature thing.
That's on TV, right?
Yeah, it's nothing but evolution, of course.
Yeah, I don't watch.
Well, it's nothing but evolution. And I don't think they have cross-gender mating going on, but there's a lot of elephants mating on the Discovery Channel. But apparently Discovery Channel is sponsoring a children's network that launches a transsexual superhero show. So again, pretty much the gender bender thing. This little 12-year-old boy.
Wait a minute. A transsexual superhero.
That's right.
Is the superhero just happen to be one who's transsexual? I mean, like that's just something that he overcomes, or is that like his superpower?
No, that's his deal. That's how he
gets his superpower.
Yeah, exactly. What he does, it's a 12-year-old boy, and he's got this little magic statement he makes, you go girl. So once he says you go girl, he turns into a girl. He wears a purple skirt and a cape, as well as pink gloves and white boots, and he, you know, overcomes evil.
And he's able to find really good deals on Rodeo Drive while shopping.
The problem is he tries to overcome evil, but Dave, evil, as it turns out, as defined by scripture, is homosexuality in this transgender thing. So that would be evil. So if he was fighting the evil, he would have to fight that. But apparently he's probably fighting Christians and trying to be sure that they're burned at the stake or something.
Probably somebody who's reading like Leviticus or something.
And
then he smacks them for being a bully.
Yeah.
And thinking those kinds
something
of things.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay, friends. Well, that's the kind of stuff going on the other side. And
my superhero.
By the way, if anybody ever has a question about this, the Bible is very, very clear. Now, it turns out you have to go into the Old Testament. The Old Testament is very, very clear. If you want to define what sexual sin is, the Bible says it's an abomination for a man to don a woman's clothing and for a woman to don a man's clothing. And that's considered to be an abomination to the Lord. Now, as it turns out, it's not a civil crime. But it is considered an abomination. It is considered to be a sinful act. And so there's no two ways about it. You know, if you're ever wondering if your son is doing something odd when he's putting on a dress, just tell him it's a sin against God. Don't do it. And train him to love the Lord. And yeah, you're probably going to have to take him to the cross of Jesus Christ and encourage him not to lie and not to dishonor his parents and not to do a lot of other things, too. I'm sorry, but and this is very hard for parents sometimes to come to grips with, but your children are sinners. They're born in sin. And Dave, what the world says, any kind of a weird sinful inclination that a child has is acceptable. It has a psychological explanation for it. And if it's socially acceptable, if we can just turn everything into a socially acceptable thing, then after a while, everything is socially acceptable and nothing is considered a sin. And so whatever weird sinful thing your kid is doing is quite appropriate, even if it involves doing some kind of a molestation thing with younger brothers and sisters and so forth and so on. After a while, the world is going to accept everything because that's the way the world is. The world does not want to call anything a sin. However, we can. We can call these things sin, and we could say that children are born with a tendency to sin, and it's our responsibility as a parent to train them, to teach them that these things are wrong, and of course, show them the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, because that's why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. Now, that's the solution to sin. The world doesn't accept that solution to sin, so they're going to come up with plan B, plan C, plan D, and really, really mess up the world in the most mind-boggling ways you could ever imagine. Just utterly destroy social situations and turn kids into psychotic messes. Okay, so the world's good at that, but the world isn't very good at training children to walk in the ways of the Lord as laid out by the commandments of the Lord in the Old and New Testaments of the Word of God.
Kevin, I would like to create our own cartoon superhero. Unique one for generations. Somebody here can probably learn how to color it, but we'll take a little bit of artwork in order to pull this off.
All right. But, what are you thinking, Dave?
Irony Man. You've heard of Iron Man.
Irony Man.
Irony Man. He goes and tries to crush evil and bad thinking everywhere. Like he comes down and says, "Now, little Jimmy, are you putting that in the recycling bin? You pretty much ought not do that. Don't you know that recycling keeps people from planting trees?" And he zooms off to the next thing. And he fights the evil of fornication. He has slogans like, you know, we should not tolerate tolerance.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, Irony Man.
Yeah, Irony Man. That's interesting. Yeah. That'd be fun.
He's kind of like St. Paul, but with a cape.
I was thinking maybe a little bit like Dave.
Like me?
Yeah, exactly. This guy sounds like he's patterned a little bit after Dave.
But better looking.
Okay, got it. And a cape. All right, now, before we end the program, friends, I want to talk a little bit more about parenting our children. And of course, we got to do this by getting back to the book of Proverbs and the Word of God. This is the standard. I know that people do not want to believe the Proverbs. I just ran into somebody, Dave, at a conference that said, you know, you talked about the Proverbs. You quoted that thing about using the rod and to save a soul from hell and so forth and so on, to use the rod. And if you hate your child, you're going to not use the rod and so forth. You've used some of these phrases. But, you know, I was at church on Sunday, and we had a Sunday school teacher. He's got his PhD, and he told us all that doesn't apply, that whole Proverbs thing doesn't apply. That using the rod can seriously mess up your kid, and so you don't want to use the rod. So, you know, again, Dave, the gods of the marketplace have swung in, and these highly educated people are saying, we know better, and we know how to raise children, and they have certainly proven it, friends, in the last generation or two, as they abandoned a biblical approach to child raising, and we have a world where 42% of kids are born outside of wedlock, up from 7% or 6% in 1970. So, yeah, things are seven times worse than they were when we had some basic biblical principles that undergirded this nation. And we'll see how things work in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years as churches are leading the pack in telling people to ignore the book of Proverbs. But that's why I wrote our family Bible study guide. It's on the book of Proverbs because it turns out to be the very, very, very core material for training our children in a right view of, well, sexuality, a right view of parent-child relationship, a right view of the civil magistrate, of leadership, of business, of banking, of savings, of debt, you name it. It's in the book of Proverbs, and I would encourage you to get our family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs if you're interested in giving your children a good raising. And by the way, throw in a family Bible study book on the book of Matthew and on the book of Genesis and the books of Psalms and so forth and so on. But Dave, here's a story from USA Today where it says parents can prevent teen substance use despite doubts. Apparently, 22.3% of parents think what they say has little influence upon their children. 9.1% of parents did not talk to their kids about dangers of drugs. On and on and on and on.
It doesn't count unless you say it to your children when they're present.
What they're saying is, yeah, exactly.
If they're not present, it doesn't matter much.
You need to come into contact with your kids from time to time. So, and probably tweeting them is not the best way to disciple.
You don't think discipling by text?
I don't think so. No.
You could spare the rod and you could poke their Facebook page.
You could spare the rod and poke them on Facebook.
Right.
Okay. A new approach to parenting.
That's not Irony Man. That's Cynical Man.
Yeah, that's Cynical Man there. Well, Dave, how in the world do you teach your kids not to do drugs?
I have a couple ideas.
But here's
one is you could teach him the word of God and don't do drugs yourself.
That's good. That's good. And maybe not get hooked up to some other addiction yourself. If you're hooked on television, if you're hooked on computer games, if you're hooked on, you know, name the addiction. If you're hooked on something and you're really upset with your kid about his little addiction, well, sorry, but you've got to be a good example for your children. And as it turns out, we're probably all going to have to go to the cross of Christ, not just the kids.
Right. We ought to kind of live there. Yeah. That should be your address right there, right underneath the cross of Christ.
Right.
But you might want to talk to your children about being free and not becoming a slave of anything, not becoming a slave of any sin.
If the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed.
And so rather than just talking about drugs, we're going to talk about freedom and slavery of sin and how Christ breaks the shackles. And we have freedom, liberty in Christ, not to continue sinning, but to do righteous things, to do glorifying
things. And here's the other thing. So many families are getting their kids hooked on something a little less socially problematic, like psychotropic drugs, Dave. So, you know, if you got drug A, drug B, this one's legal. This one's more socially acceptable.
Well, in Colorado, that could be pot.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. All right. So, so many ways. And here, I want to end on this. I think the thing to do is to teach the basic principles of God's word. This morning, Dave, we were reading from Colossians chapter 3 as we were finishing our family devotions. And I read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so as we read that, I reminded my children, I said, children, this is the way in which things are going to go well with you. And one of the reasons why kids aren't listening to their parents is because they're scoffers. They've never been trained to honor their mothers and fathers. They haven't been trained to obey their mothers and fathers. And teenage rebellion is on the rise. And as long as you have teenage rebellion on the rise, friends, of course you're going to have kids on drugs. And they don't acknowledge this, that the honor of mother and father, the fifth commandment, is essential if things are going to go well with you in the land. If you think things are going to go well with your children, if you want things to go well with your children, teach them to honor the mother and father. Kids that will not honor the mother and father, things are going to go badly for them. They'll probably be on drugs. They'll probably get divorces. They'll probably have a very rotten life. Why? Because God promised it in the commandment with promise. The fifth commandment actually means something. It's still in stone. According to Paul, he just quotes it word for word in Colossians 3 and Ephesians chapter 6, Dave. I mean, there's no difference except he translated the word in the land to in the earth. Just said now the whole earth effectively is where the kingdom of God is going to go. And so wherever there are Christian families, we need to teach our children to honor mother and father and to obey their mother and father in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the modern apostasy really had a huge connection with the disobedience of parents. Started with Robert Louis Stevenson and some of the great writers, Ernest Hemingway as well. The gigantic writers, the writers who established a literary genre that took over the world in the latter part of the 1800s and the early part of the 1900s were almost without exception men who, for the most part, again, disobeyed their mothers and fathers. They dishonored the mothers and fathers. In fact, Robert Louis Stevenson was one of the most well-known apostates of all time. I know people love his books, but they need to teach their children that Robert Louis Stevenson had all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. His father prayed for him and prayed for him that he would be saved from his rebellion and all the rest. And he just laughed and said his father's prayers wouldn't go beyond the chandeliers. And he mocked his father all the way to the day of his death. And by the way, the same thing with Ernest Hemingway. I treat these things in my book, Apostate. You need to get a copy of my book, Apostate, to learn the process of apostasy and how we wound up with a zeitgeist today that is largely made up of teenage rebellion. In other words, it comes, first of all, with the leaders. It comes with John Paul Sartre, who rebelled against his parents and began to steal his mother's things and so forth until he was finally kicked out of the home. It starts with Robert Louis Stevenson. It starts with Ernest Hemingway, who was raised in a nice little Vision Forum type of Christian family up in Wheaton, Illinois. And his parents were involved with Wheaton College. And his father took him on dinosaur digs and explained creation to him. And he read G.A. Henty tales and all the rest. But by 17, 18 years of age, he was writing pornography. By 17, 18 years of age, he was one of the worst possible teenage reprobates you could ever imagine. He tried to kill his father. He had his father in his sights, almost pulled the trigger, and almost killed his father when he was just a young man, and cursed his mother and spent most of his life cursing his mother, saying some of the absolutely worst possible things you could ever say about a mother for most of his life, did not attend his mother's funeral, and shortly afterwards put a bullet through his own head and put an end to the miserable life of this Ernest Hemingway wretch. Okay, so that's, friends, that is a history you're probably not going to hear in your average Christian college and your average encyclopedia, but I include these stories in my book, Apostate, because it's so important to understand the roots of the teenage rebellion that really metastasized in the 1960s and 1970s, 1980s, and now it's, of course, far worse. So the whole teenage rebellion thing has been nothing but an example of the breakdown of the fifth commandment in the last several generations, the last 4 to 5 generations of this nation's history. And you need to teach this to your children. Show them what happened to these men who led the life of dishonor to parents. And by the way, this is what's going to happen to a society that is almost wholesale adopting the idea of dishonor to parents. Dave, I think you're going to continue to see a downward spiral generation by generation. How much of the problem with illegitimacy, how much of the problem with drug use, how much of the problem with all of these different things do you think might be tied into the fact that there are so precious few people who will honor their mother and father? Dave, it's refreshing when you see a 45-year-old man speaking nothing but good about his father. I don't see that very often. I see it with guys like Doug Phillips some. I have learned a lot myself and have tried to honor my father more and more over the last 10 years or so because I'm so convicted that there's so little honor of mothers and fathers, and this may be the root problem in the breakdown of an entire social system.
I think it is, but let me expand it for a minute. I think the problem is we don't respect authority as God has delegated it, primarily through parents, but that's where we learn authority for all of life. If we don't honor that authority, we're not going to honor the other authorities in life. So we have women who won't honor their husbands as heads, and that's breaking down marriage like crazy. Well, that's contributing to the dishonor of children. Children dishonor, wives dishonor. We have men who won't honor the king that God has put in place, not rightly. We won't honor the church, won't honor the elders. We have a society that does not believe in the authority delegated from Christ on the throne, through his institutions, through his people. We want the best person to be in charge. Well, God doesn't put the best person in charge. He actually asks sometimes the worst person, the husband, to be the head of his wife because of authority, and then we respond to that with honor. Well, that's lost. And when we lose that, we're actually rebelling against the very crown rights of Christ to delegate who he wants, who he chooses, who he elects to be the authorities over us, be it our parents, be it a husband, be it our princes and our kings and our governments, be it our elders of the church. You know, we're rebelling against all of that. And so the dishonor is systemic through all of society. And if you really think about it, that was the first sin. That was the temptation given to Eve that you could be an authority to yourself. You would be as God, and you wouldn't have to give honor and obedience and fealty to the King of Kings. And when we don't do it there, we're certainly not going to do it in the home. What we have is this sin of rebellion against authority by our dishonor that runs through our blood and through our fingers. It runs from our fingertips to our toes, and it's infected society.
This is a huge commandment. I mean, that needs to be preached, I think, every day in our homes and every day or every week virtually in our churches. I think pastors need to bring this out all the time. Now, people get sick of it, say, I'm sick of this commandment of God business. They don't delight in the laws of God. They don't love God's law. They hate God's law and they hate God. Well, that's the way it goes. But when people feel badly about breaking God's law, you lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. And finally, the cross has some meaningfulness when people realize they've sinned. So that's why the church needs to take up 60-70% of its time speaking on sin and driving people to the cross of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, once they have seen their sins forgiven, what their sins for of disobeying and dishonoring their mothers and fathers, then they'll love God and keep his commandments. And those who have been forgiven much will love much. And that's the whole purpose of the teaching ministry of the church. We have to encourage people to see their sins such that they will see their forgiveness and then love God and keep his commandments. You say, which commandments? The commandments they broke.
Right.
The fifth commandment. They need to get back to
all of the commandments.
All the commandments.
The cross leads us to the throne. You know, we don't just stop at redemption. There are way too many Christians out there who want Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord.
Impossible.
And
it's impossible.
And the cross takes us to the throne room of Christ where we can stand before Christ innocent because of the sacrifice of Christ.
Very good. It's impossible, Dave, to go to the cross and never love Jesus and never keep his commandments. That's impossible. It's impossible to be loved and not to love. Okay, my friends, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. We encourage you also to support the program. Get my book, Apostate, if you can. I, again, would encourage you to grab this book. It's a narrative concerning what happened to the Western world. It's about 5 or 6 different areas. I outline the growth of homosexuality, the growth of dishonor of parents, the growth of Marxism, the growth of atheism, the growth of a breakdown of the Christian faith through literature, and then eventually into the broader culture. So all of this, if you want to know how we got to be who we are in the Western world, and you live in the Western world, or you live in a country like Japan or Korea or somewhere like that that's been heavily influenced by the Western world, you need to get this book. It's called Apostate. It's available at my website, kevinswanson.com. Also, if you'd like to support this program, if you think what we talk about in this program is valuable, again, my encouragement is to be one of the 100 sponsors we're targeting. Dave, my understanding is we're right about 82 sponsors right now. We need to make it to 100 sponsors. I need 18 more people to click on Donate Now on our website, kevinswanson.com, and be one of the 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for the next 1 year. And friends, we've been on the air for 10 years now. We're going for our 11th year. And I'm so excited that we have had so many good sponsors of this program. I'm so thankful God has provided the sponsors we've needed every single year. It has not been a huge concern, except that we nudge people every May to be part of the 100 brave souls willing to lay down some basic foundations for the next generation. So again, let me encourage you, go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Donate Today today. This is Kevin Swanson encouraging you back again next time as we continue to lay down the vision for the next generation.